Here we go.
My feet are what, 2 feet from you?
Yeah, that's what I like.
Yeah.
Dirty feet, 2 feet from my face. I find myself in a bit of a pickle.
Ooh.
So at home, my best girl, whom I care about so very much. She's my best girl.
Yeah.
She has decided in the last week or two that she is now going vegetarian.
Oh, no. And she's dragging you down with her?
Well, no, she's not going that far, but it's now become a thing where when we're plotting out our meals for the week and all this stuff that I'm like, whoa, this looks like it's going to be a good week. Maybe we should get some steaks. And that's met with a, you can have a steak.
Oh, so she's punishing herself?
Yeah, she's depriving herself of meat, which is
that's the thing. When you become vegetarian or vegan, don't treat it like you're being punished. That's the mistake that a lot of people make.
I'm just worried that eventually it's going to get to a point where because I am not falling down the same hole.
No.
That it's going to become a problem that I'm not into chickpeas the way she is.
Well, what kind of meals is she eating? And what brought this on? She has a friend who's vegetarian?
I don't know what brought it on. It was kind of out of the blue. She said she always used to rarely eat meat, and I'm the exact opposite.
Yeah.
I eat meat on meat on meat.
Well, yeah, I've seen you once put a burger between two steaks.
Yeah.
Like a steak bun.
Yeah. It's great for your heart.
Oh, yeah.
That's what doctors won't tell you.
Wow.
But yeah, she's now planning to go full vegetarian, and I have to dance around this and be supportive. And it's fine if you want to be vegetarian. That's great. From time to time, she'll cook up something, and turns out a lot of vegetables smell like farts.
Oh, no. You live in a fart house?
Yeah. Brussels sprouts, all those things.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, has she gotten to the point yet, too, where she's introducing herself in social situations where she's like, yeah, I won't say her name, but my name's, I'm vegetarian.
No, not yet.
She hasn't worked that one into a conversation yet?
No, I think she's still pretty novice.
Okay.
She's only a week or two in.
Yeah.
But I'm getting very nervous.
Well, I wish her all the best with this. And to you, Bryce, Godspeed.
Oh, man. A lawn chair is a good town chair, but you're aware of that. It folds down to half the size so you can lay it flat. I can watch the world go by and live without a care. I've never had a bad time in my old lawn chair. Oh, Karen. 1, 2, 3, 4. Who's the manager of this store? 5, 6, 7, 8. Get them now, I'm quite irate. 9, 10, 11, 12. All of you can go to hell. 'Cause my name's Karen. Wow.
Yeah, I worked hard on that.
It shows. That's your finest work.
It is. I saw your head bobbing when that came on in the studio here, and that's not like you to bob your head to a song.
So. No, it's catchy. It's to the point. I understand it. It's easy to digest. I like everything about it.
Now, before you go spinning out of control and accuse Bryce and I of being bullies, we're actually here to stand up for the Karens.
Karens
despite
have had
what
a rough
that
go.
Song might, you know, lead you to believe.
That is what the world perceives Karen to be.
Yes.
That's what that is. They are getting a rough go right now. Karen has become, you Google Karen and there's a definition. I should actually pull that up right now. If I were better prepared, I'd
sure. I describe it as Karens are to humans what pit bulls are to canines. There's been a few bad ones, and now they get painted with the same brush.
You look up Karen memes online, and it's an endless list of, frankly, very funny.
Yeah.
Just, it's a gold mine. But I feel bad for Karen. Here's what, when you Google Karen, it's a colloquial term that is used to typify a person perceived to be entitled or demanding beyond the scope of what is considered appropriate or necessary.
Hmm.
That is an official definition of Karen.
Yeah, and but not all Karens are like that. So we thought we would take a moment or two and have you text and tell us about a Karen who's a good Karen, a good example of a Karen.
Yes, and we were overwhelmed.
Yeah. Oh, my God, did we ever get a lot of submissions.
It makes me feel better knowing there are good Karens.
Yeah. My best friend Karen works in an assisted living center. She has stayed extra at work just to hang out with the seniors that aren't allowed visitors. She's the kindest person I know, and not once have I ever heard her ask for the manager, Wendy. So there's a good Karen right there.
Okay, great. That's perfect.
Oh, this one, I need more details. Good morning, guys. I had a friend, Karen, years ago. Despite a terrible end to our friendship, she remains the most kind, compassionate, wonderful person I have ever met. She's a fantastic mom slash nurse that spent her time helping people with diabetes. This is from Bobby Boucher.
Oh, Bobby Boucher, the water boy.
Yeah.
Bobby Boucher.
I get the feeling that might not be the person's real name.
Well, Bobby Boucher, I would like to know what ended that relationship to a wonderful person.
I'm going to guess that Bobby Boucher cheated.
Oh, my.
Do you think that might have been it?
It sounds awfully juicy, or and that Bobby, would qualify.
Yeah, Bobby Boucher broke Karen's heart somehow, I think.
Man, that sounds spicy.
Oh, man. Oh, here's Kyle. Kyle's have got it pretty bad, too. Don't forget about Kyle's. Yeah, shut up, Kyle.
They do have it bad, but well, nowhere near bad as Karen.
Yeah. You know what we should do, though, too, is if we're going to talk about Kyle's, we should talk about, like, if you were to put together a Kyle starter pack, what would be in the Kyle starter pack other than the white sunglasses?
A can of Monster Energy.
Of course.
Some kind of t-shirt about martial arts or ultimate fighting.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Would the Kyle starter pack come with a vape?
Ooh, yeah.
It would?
It would be. But it'd be a vape that smells really good.
Oh, yeah, like cherry. You
know, like cotton candy or something like that.
Yeah.
It'd be one of those.
Ooh, we got so many of these Karen texts here.
It's insane.
I don't know which direction to go next.
Because we've all been kind of trained to think that Karens, all they do is ask for managers. They get appalled at everything. Everything you do is bad for their children.
Here's a nice one.
Good.
The day home my kids go to is run by a lady named Karen. She's one of the most loving and supportive people in their lives. With the world falling apart because of COVID and our family going through restructuring.
Oh my.
She has been a rock for the kids. I don't know what I would do without her, Dan. Huh? What is the restructuring of family? Does that just mean divorce?
I think that's exactly what
that means.
That's
what that's code for divorce?
Yeah.
Restructuring?
Yeah.
Oh, let me guess. Dan, have you been downsized? Were you laid off as the husband? Were you
relocated.
Furloughed?
Relocated to his own apartment?
Ooh, boy.
That is a glowing endorsement of a good Karen, though.
It sure is, yeah.
And this is what we need in these uncertain times. We need rays of sunshine.
Salute to my late mom, Karen. She was the most kind, compassionate woman and the most amazing mom. She used to listen to your show on the LRT on her way to work every morning. She loved you, Garn. Corey. Aw, well, thank you.
That's very nice.
It's weird to think that somebody who knew who I was and I didn't know who she was is now dead. And I don't mean, that's a bizarre concept when you stop and think about it. Because people who do what you and I do for a living, quite often people driving in their cars or whatever, they think of us as their friends. And I feel like a horrible friend because I didn't even know that Corey's mom, Karen, had passed away.
Wow. That is world-class empathy. That's what that is.
Is that what that is?
Sure.
I've known 3 Karens over the last 30 years. Never met a nice one. Oh.
Ooh.
Well, this took a turn.
Yeah, how did that get in the pile?
They were always rude and inconsiderate of others. Just saying, I don't know a good one.
Ooh, just saying.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that one kind of derails things a little bit.
Sure does. Thank you. Just before we move on here. Hey, guys, in salute to Karens, you can thank them for finally giving the Debbies and Nancys of the world a break. Jen. Yeah.
Yeah, Debbie and Nancy, they had a rough go. But Karen,
oh,
she takes it like no one else.
Okay, here's a doozy. My first name is Debbie, middle name Karen. Ooh, tough. You can't even hide behind your middle name in these days, this day and age.
No.
That's tough times for Debbie Karen, Karen Debbie.
That's a double whammy.
Sure is.
You're listening to The Lawn Chair Prophets with Garner Andrews and Bryce Kelly. It's like radio, but on the internet.
Hey, Bryce.
Yeah?
Do you have the theme song?
Oh, you mean this?
Lazy bones, sleep in the sun. How you expect to get your day's work done?
Oh, boy.
You never get your day's work done.
Yeah.
Lying in the noonday sun.
God, I love that song.
You know what amps me up? Oh, a whistle solo.
It's not enough for those anymore.
No, there's really, really not.
Leon Redbone, everybody, if you want to add that to your collection. If you want to take your next house party to the next level, that's Leon next? Redbone, Lazy Bones.
You're looking to add songs to your workout mix? Listen to while you pump iron? Here you go.
Yeah. Are you thinking of going down to the woods to fight dance? Dance fight?
You need songs to listen to while hunting.
Oh, yeah, that'd be perfect.
There you go.
Ooh. Anyway, we were talking about the laziest thing you've ever done. Maybe it was the laziest thing you've ever witnessed. I don't know if this stems from a conversation we were having, because I was saying that lately I've been sleeping in the guest bedroom at home. Because my wife had surgery, and I thought, I'm going to clear out of that room for a little bit. I'm going to give her some space so I don't accidentally throw an elbow in the middle of the night right into her stitches.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
So anyway, I've been in the spare bedroom, and I've realized something that I'm really, really good at is I can make a bed. I'm actually performing it right now. I can make a bed while I'm still in it. Like, I can get it 90% of the way there.
Okay.
I just throw the pillows on the floor, and then I just kind of starfish. I make like a snow angel under the blankets, and I move all the blankets back out to the corners, stand up, 5 seconds later, bed is made. And
yeah,
some people might think that's lazy. I think it's actually ingenious. It's proactive. I'm saving time once I stand up.
See, I question how much time you're actually saving.
A lot. A lot.
Because I have 2 sheets on my bed. So to make a bed takes no time whatsoever.
I don't know. I like to make a really neat bed. I spend the majority of my time, though, putting the 14 pillows back on the bed. For some reason, we have a lot of pillows.
Of course.
But anyway, this inspired the discussion of the laziest thing you do.
Yeah, you actually want to build the Lazy Hall of Fame.
I do.
Which would be, I think the way to build it would be 3 walls, not fully completed.
Yeah, half a roof.
The roof is just tarped.
Yeah, but the question is would anybody come to the Lazy Hall of Fame, or would they be too lazy to come to the Lazy Hall of Fame?
It's tough because it doesn't have set hours. It's just open whenever.
Yeah. Hey, Garner and Bryce, lazy? My husband pees in our yard all the time instead of coming in the house. If he's cutting the grass or building a birdhouse, he'll just pee in a bush or a hedge somewhere in the yard. It's like not like we live on an acreage or a farm either. I'm sure the neighbors know exactly what he's doing. Worst part, he taught his 6-year-old nephew to do the same thing, Melanie. Okay.
I was just thinking, I don't think backyards are as private as people think they are.
I could probably pull off a pee in my backyard if I went behind my shed. But my neighbors would see me go behind the shed and they'd be like, he's been behind the shed for quite some time.
Yeah, why does it sound like it's raining?
Yeah.
There's blue sky out there.
Yeah.
I don't think I could pull it off in mine. I think I'm too exposed.
Hey, I saw a guy, quote, refill a beer bottle to avoid getting up from the table or wait in line at the bathroom.
Oh, geez.
Gross. And I don't feel like, whoa, I have that kind of sharpshooter's aim that I'd be, you know, that would be required to get all of the pee into the bottle without having to go do a deep decontamination scrub of my hands.
Yeah, or at least have a steady enough hand.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that's kind of gross, too.
Not leaving the table to go to the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
That's next level.
Think about that next time you're taking a long, hard sip on an ice-cold bottle of beer.
Or you find a bottle of beer in the ditch.
Oh.
You want to recycle that bottle?
And you're like 3 mouthfuls into it before you realize that's not beer. Ooh. I know a guy who gets into his golf cart to go 10 yards. He couldn't even think of walking. 10 yards, that's like here to that wall.
You have to work hard to hit a ball only 10 yards.
Yeah, that's good stuff. How do you know he's golfing?
Oh, I just assumed it was on a golf course.
That's weird when you see people using golf carts for non-golf activities. It's an odd, yeah, there's an element of lazy there. We pulled up to a gas station. My son noticed a pop machine nearby. He wanted a particular pop, but was too lazy to get out of the car and go look if it was there. I suggested he should check and see if there's a binocular app for his phone. He did. There was a binocular app, but his favorite pop was sadly not in the pop machine. He was 15 then and just celebrated his 25th birthday. Happy birthday, Nick. Wow. So we're shaming Nick for being lazy and celebrating a birthday.
So 10 years ago, he used binoculars to see if his treat of choice was in a vending machine.
If my kid wasn't getting out of the car to go look and see if his favorite pop in the pop machine, I would be like, sorry, you don't get one.
It couldn't have been that far away.
Nick, your mom or dad, whoever sent this in, is an enabler. No wonder you're lazy.
Wow.
They've never made you get up and go look and see if your pop is in the machine.
Wow, someone just got slapped with the truth.
Oh, yeah. Probably the laziest thing I've ever done was load up all of my dirty dishes in a laundry basket and take them to my friend's house to use her dishwasher since I don't have one. Ooh, there's an element of sad right there. You're walking down the hallway of your apartment building with all your dishes in a laundry basket.
I feel like it would take more effort to do that.
Yes.
Than it would to fill a sink with soap and just scrub.
Yeah, but how fun is that, Bryce? Well, you don't get to cluck like a couple of hens when you're just washing your own dishes in your crappy apartment.
Like, I've heard of people going to their parents' house to do their laundry, but to pack up your dirty dishes and use someone's dishwasher?
Yeah.
That is champion level. That is front hall of the Hall of Fame worthy.
That's an oil painting in the front lobby of the Lazy Hall of Fame.
Wow.
Yeah.
Truly impressive.
I one time was too lazy to go get some dry socks, so I put mine in the microwave. They burst into flames, so I had to clean the microwave. You learned a lesson about being lazy right there.
Mm. Dirty socks that caught on fire in a microwave. I'm going to assume not something you want as a cologne. It's probably not a great smell.
From the people who brought you a hot summer day in a parkade stairwell.
Old hockey bag.
Comes, what is it?
Wet socks in on fire in a microwave.
We should be in charge of cologne. Well, fellas, I see our new Axe body spray scents, not big hits. Anyone know what the problem is? Good morning, fellas. Last year, I had a worker on site eating mushroom soup straight from the can.
Wow.
Is this lazy or what? I guess it's lazy because he never heated it up.
Never heated it up, never took it out of a can. Like, it's a pouring motion. You don't want to dirty a bowl. It's lazy.
Yeah.
And frankly, gross. Mushroom soup, that's your soup of choice?
The mushroom soup, the pouring it from the can, too, is second to the cranberries in that fart sound you get.
Oh.
You do get a good fart sound, but the can of cranberries is the best one.
That's a terrible soup choice.
Is it?
Mushroom soup is good as an addition to a dish, but just as its own solo artist, I don't know.
Put a lot of pepper in it?
Yeah.
Mushroom soup's a fine soup. You just need to grow up. Garner, my sister's husband eats everything right out of the can without even heating it up. Beans, ravioli, peas, corn, you name it. Lazy or practical? I could eat beans or I could eat the chef out of a can. The greatest chef ever, Chef Boyardee.
I'd want to heat it up, though.
No, I would eat it cold.
I like my beefaroni a little warm. Eating a can of corn, there's a wisp of sadness to that one.
And not creamed corn, though, right? Who eats creamed corn? People with broken jaws.
I don't mind it. I would never buy it on purpose. But I don't make the yucky face at it.
That just gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I have cooked a can of beans, like, over a fire.
Like a hobo.
While camping. I thought it'd be fun. Turns out it's not fun. It kind of sucks.
How do you hold the can after it?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Hey, this isn't exactly my laziness, but when I was a kid playing outside, my dad would call me or one of my three siblings into the house to change the channel for him while he sat on the couch. He tells this story to people now and laughs like it's the funniest thing. I'm in my 40s now. I still don't think it's funny, Michelle. Yeah, this is from us. You probably don't even remember the time before TV remotes, Bryce.
I remember having a big, bulky TV that had a huge crank on it.
You do remember that?
Yeah.
Oh.
I had one big rabbit ears thing in my room.
But do you remember the TV as a piece of furniture? Like it was in a big wooden cabinet?
No, never had that.
Yeah.
Man, I don't think that's lazy. I think that's a championship dad moment.
That is a dad move right there.
Convincing
the fact
your
he
kids.
Laughs about it now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knew what he was doing.
My friend's morbidly obese cat walks up to her food dish, lays down on her side, and drags the food into her mouth with her paw.
Oh, that's adorable.
See, even pets are lazy.
A lot of them do lay down to eat.
Oh, this is one of my favorite ones right here, Bryce. But you said this one has the, like the cold corn wisp of sad to it. This one has a wisp of sad, but I think it's ingenious. My dad lives by himself and removed a cupboard door below his kitchen sink so he can sit on a stool and eat all of his meals over the sink.
Oh.
He is the master of dirtying almost no dishes and eats the majority of his meals out of their original packaging.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of sadness going on there. I just picture you sitting over a sink and just there's one light bulb on a string just swinging back and forth.
But barely. Yeah. It's being blown by the fan because you don't have air conditioning.
Oh, man. Yeah. There's a lot of sad going on there.
Ooh, I was once so lazy that I didn't get out of my chair to get the TV remote, so I downloaded the Samsung app instead. Ooh, okay, that's front lobby material right there, too.
That's pretty good, because I imagine the remote was within eyesight.
Like, you could see it. It's on the coffee table.
Yeah.
But you're, like, 4 feet away, and you're like, then I have to put down this bowl of chips.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking about this, eating a can of corn.
Hey, I'm an in-the-bed maker, too. Respect, Garn, respect. But according to my wife, it does not meet minimum standard. So maybe you are good at it and deserve accolades.
Hmm. Oh, so maybe he's saying it's tougher than it looks.
Yeah. Oh, how about this one, too? And I don't have the text in front of me, but we got a text from somebody who said she travels for work, and when she's out of town, her husband sleeps on top of the bed. Like, he doesn't get underneath the covers.
What?
Because he doesn't want to have to make the bed in the morning, so instead he sleeps on top, and then he just gets up and smooths it out.
Oh, man, that is next level. That's front lobby material.
Oh, here's a front lobby one, too. This person says, I was shaking my head at the story about the woman's husband who sleeps on top the covers so he doesn't have to make the bed. My old roommate from university used to eat a handful of cereal and then have a sip of milk from the jug so he didn't have to wash any dishes. I only had to see this once before I bought a small fridge and started keeping my food in my bedroom, Brian. Is that lazy or just super practical?
Is it the most genius thing I've ever heard? Yeah.
Hey, just pop a squat because they're definitely not sharing a chair. It's the Lawn Chair Profits with Garner and Bryce.
So, you and I, in our own vehicles, because we don't carpool, that'd be lame.
That'd be weird.
We both drive by this same, I wouldn't say sketchy.
Motel of last resort.
Yeah, it's probably the motel you stay in when maybe not everything's going your way.
When you're going through a family restructuring.
Yes, this is, they stack the sadness two stories tall at this particular place. And now we're going to talk about murder. How do we transition?
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah, I forgot the turn this takes.
Yeah.
Right.
So I wish to apologize. There's this motel that Bryce and I drive by every morning on our way to work. And I've been driving past this place for 15 years. This is the same place. I drove by one day and one end of the building was on fire. Like, there was a small fire. And I drove right past it. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's par for the course over there. And then I thought, no, I better go. So I did a U-turn on a one-way street, drove back. And it's one of these places that the guy who runs the motel lives in there. So he's got the sign that says, please ring bell for, you can check into that motel any time of day or night. And he just gets out of bed and he'll come to the door in his whatever. So I'm ringing the bell. He comes out, he's got like the sleeping cap on. And
yeah. He's carrying a candlestick.
Yes. And he came to the front desk and I'm like, there's a fire at the end of your building. He's like, okay. Like, it was met with sort of like, I told him that.
You woke me up for this?
Yeah. So I assume that he got it looked after. I mean, the structure's still there. But this is that same place. Anyway, we both drove by there the other day. And there's police cars everywhere. The parking lot is taped off with the police tape. And they've got a big white sheet hanging from the second level of sadness. and covering the first floor door of this suite where apparently a murder happened.
Yeah. A body was found inside of there, and it wasn't exactly discreet.
No.
It's a very busy road, and you drive past it, and there's this huge sheet, yeah, going from the second level down to the first.
Where do you get a sheet that big?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Where do police get those sheets? But they get it so you can't see what happened on the other side, and what happened on the other side was murder.
So anyway, the point of this whole conversation is there's still, you know, they've got probably four rooms on each side of the murder room roped off so you can't go in, but there's still guests sleeping in all the other rooms.
Yeah, they let everyone stay in the motel for the night.
Yeah.
And like, eventually, a week or two from now, someone's going to be staying in that room.
In the murder suite.
Yeah.
So I was thinking to myself, do motels and hotels, when they rent out a room, do they have to tell you, it's sort of like when you sell a house and if something horrific has happened in that house, you need to declare that. Do you have to declare, oh, by the way, we're putting you in room 26. Oh, yeah. There was a gruesome murder in that room. Enjoy your stay.
We found a dead guy there last week.
Do they have to let you know?
No.
Really?
I think if they let you know, there would be so many rooms not filled in hotels.
Yeah.
Because how many people be like, oh, murder last week? Great.
Do you know how
Which
many
direction does it face?
Yeah. Do you know how many people die in hotel and motel rooms?
Yeah, I think it's a lot more common. Not murder, but just death in hotels.
Yes, and I'm thinking to myself, how often have I been laying on a bed where somebody died?
You've definitely laid in a dead guy bed.
Oh.
You've showered in a dead guy's shower. Oh, boy.
I wonder if the people that stayed, like if they didn't move out after the murder in this place down the street here, I wonder if they got like free continental breakfast or something. That place doesn't strike me as the kind of place with a continental breakfast.
A few years ago, five or six years ago, I was going through a relationship restructuring.
Mm.
And I had to spend a couple nights at a motel on the same road.
Across the street, though.
Yeah, it wasn't the same one. It was a little further up the road. But I was getting ready to come into here and got a knock at the door. This would have been 4 o'clock in the morning. And it was a police officer asking if I had heard anything that had happened the night before. I did not. And a guy had been stabbed to death in the lobby.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a gentleman. I knew that you stayed in that hotel, but I didn't know about this.
There was a something happened because there's a gentleman's club across the street, which caught on fire recently.
Sounds like we live in a wonderful town, doesn't it? A lot of fire in this neighborhood.
Just painting a picture of where we work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something happened at the gentleman's club. It carried across the street into the lobby of this motel that I happen to be staying in. And yada, 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 one guy's dead.
Mm.
And I didn't hear anything. I had no idea.
Or did you? And you just don't want to get involved.
Oh, man. No, I didn't hear a thing.
Yeah.
I had no clue. I was on the opposite side of the building. But when I checked out, it would have been a day or two later. I was checking out, standing in the lobby where the crime had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And said, oh, I heard someone died here the other day. And the person working behind the counter is like, oh, really? I didn't hear about that.
Oh, whatever.
And I was like, how did you not hear about that? How could you possibly not? And I even made the joke, which at the time seemed tasteless and years later probably still is, where I said, do I get a dead guy discount? That was met
Stunned
with a no.
Silence. Crickets.
It was a hard no on that one.
Oh.
So oddly enough, I have stayed at a dead guy hotel.
Yeah. I didn't know this whole story. That's fascinating. I like this.
Yeah. Stabbed to death.
Wow.
Charming.
I don't know. I feel like there should be a law. They have to declare if you're staying in that room and probably the two rooms on each side, they have to let everybody know that, you know, you're in proximity of murder.
Yeah. When you check into a hotel, it should include a couple things. There should always be a Bible beside the bed.
Mm-hmm.
There should be a brochure of what to do in that city and a detailed diary of what has happened in that room in the past.
Yeah. Yeah. Proximity of Murder, by the way, doesn't that sound like the title of every second book you see in an airport bookstore?
Sounds
Proximity
like
Proximity of Murder.
Sounds like a Metallica album that never came out.
Hey guys, a couple of years ago, my friend and I thought about making an app for tourists that would let them know about places that famous people had stayed. There would be categories like stayed at, partied at, died at.
Ooh.
That's actually pretty good. That's from Zach.
People do visit celebrity graves, so I would imagine you'd want to stay where famous people have died.
Well, yeah, there's the hotel in Los Angeles where John Belushi died. Apparently, you can rent that room.
Oh.
There's people that want to rent the room that Whitney Houston died in just to go have a bath. I would love to talk to somebody, though, who has worked at a really fancy high-end hotel. And I will bet you there are people out there that want to book the suite that the Queen stayed in or Oprah stayed in or Paul McCartney the night they moved. So if the Queen leaves on Wednesday, they want the room for Wednesday night so that they can, I don't know, sit on the same toilet as the Queen, sleep in the same bed as the Queen.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. Just, you know, 12 hours ago, the Queen was staring at this same lame artwork.
That would be pretty cool.
It would.
I would like that.
Yeah.
It feels less dirty than, like, oh, this is where Whitney Houston died.
Yeah.
I feel there's a bit of filth to that.
Mm-hmm.
Would it bother you if you, like, okay, Mr. Andrews, you are staying in room 404. By the way, last week, a man was shot to death in there. Enjoy your stay.
No, I wouldn't like that. Yeah, that would bug me. That would. It wouldn't bug me to know I was sitting on the same toilet as Oprah, though.
Thanks for listening to The Lawn Chair Profits with Garner Andrews and Bryce Kelly. Theme by Garner Andrews. Guests of The Lawn Chair Profits enjoy catering by that weird dude down the hall. He smells.